You're listening to The Soul Chronicles, the podcast navigating life and times in the sneaker industry, Hollywood, and corporate America.
Welcome to another episode of The Soul Chronicles, where we navigate life and times in the sneaker industry, the sports industry, Hollywood, and corporate America. I'm your co-host, Mohammed El-Muhajir, along with...
Hi there, I'm Nikita Newell Hall, your other co-host.
Yeah. So yes, we are excited to bring today's episode because many of our episodes have been very male focused, very hip hop focused. I think in a few of the episodes, Nikita touched on a few interactions with people like Celine Dion and Janet Jackson, but they haven't been like full on episodes. So today we're doing just a full on episode on one of the biggest names in probably the history of music of the modern times, just of our era, the past 30 years of music, one of the biggest legends, Madonna. Nikita, I'm going to say what we're going to bring out in this episode is when I really understood the gift that we have. It is a gift. Like, I never kind of understood it, but how we relate to entertainers and celebrities, it's really a gift. And so we'll kind of highlight that a little bit more. But Nikita, like, just talk to me about Madonna, how you got connected with her, how she ended up in our showroom. And then we were both there that day, so we can talk a little bit about that. But just tell me how it happened, because it wasn't easy getting artists of that level into the showroom. So I just kind of want to talk us through how that happened.
Yeah, so back then there were celebrities who were associated with brands. I mean, I don't think they had monetary deals, but it was sort of like, whose crew are you in, right? And so we talked about a lot of the people who Nike had great relationships with, Puma had relationships with people, other Reebok did, and so did Adidas. And one of Adidas's biggest supporters and collaborators was Madonna. I mean, she was a total Adi brand person. Mm-hmm. Never saw her. If you saw pictures of Madonna dressed down, right? Because you know Madonna is known for the costume and the sex appeal and coming with all the drama, honey, right? Obviously. But if you saw her dressed down 99.9% of the time, she would be in Adidas. And so
that was a big kind of fashion vibe in Hollywood with the Adidas track pants. We talk a lot about the hip hop guys because, to be honest, those were the guys who were really riding for Nike, and the like more Hollywood actors, whatever, they were more on the Adidas kind of little vibe. So I think that's just important to bring out. You know, this is like Y2K. My daughter is like always talking about Y2K. She's like 11 years old. So this is the height of Y2K by fashion, everything.
There wasn't a clear delineation. Or there was a clear delineation between sport and fashion. Like, sport was one thing, mm-hmm. and then fashion was another thing, right? Now we kind of see them as sort of one thing. You can be sporty and fashion, the track pants and your heels and all this. Well, Adidas, to your point, I think they were really sort of taking the lead on that sort of trend. And definitely Madonna was at the forefront of that. So I was talking to someone at Maverick, I think it was Kenny, and we were just shooting the breeze, just about all kind of stuff. And it was, again, hard even, and getting him on the phone was difficult because you have to realize entire camps would be with brands, right? Does that make sense? My label guy is Nike'd out, but then I'm all Adidas out, and then our artist is all Puma'd out. No. It would be the whole camp, right? So if Nike infiltrated So Def, it would be Jermaine Dupri, yes, but then everybody else too, right? So it's the same thing with Adidas. So I met this guy and we hit it off and really had a great relationship. And I just started little by little chipping away at the Adidas stronghold, but I started with him. And I knew right away, one thing people couldn't get us on, Mohammeda, is our packaging and delivery.
Right.
If you got to our celebrity showroom, you had an experience. It wasn't just like a back room somewhere with a bunch of sweatshirts piled up. I mean, we would spend money and we would work with designers to really kit out our space and have a real architectural feel and bend and slant to our space so that people were getting a real experience. Like, we were bringing them into the Nike world. So we were having like a mini campus experience, but in LA, in Marina Del Rey, right? And so that's the one point of difference is A, I knew we could get them on the relationship building, and B, I knew we could get them on experience.
Right.
And so I eventually talked him into our showroom, and we gave him the full on experience, and then just started talking little by little. And one day, Muhammad, one day, I was like, well, what's Madonna's sizes? And at the time, she just had Lourdes. She was pregnant, I think, with Rocco. I was like, give me her sizes. Give me Lourdes' the sizes. And then also, she was married at the time to the director. What's his name, Muhammad?
Guy Ritchie.
I just draw a blank.
Nope. Guy Ritchie.
So I was like, I just got to tell the whole family the Nike package, right? Kenny was like, I don't think we should do that. And I'm like, well, why? I mean, I know she's Adidas. That's fine. But I think she's Adidas because she hasn't had a Nike experience. Right? I'm like, that's why she's Adidas, because she doesn't realize what else is out here. And she doesn't realize she's not with the best. She doesn't know that. He was like, yeah, no, you're right. He said, but how about we do one better? Why don't we get her to come into the showroom, like how you've shown me around? I was like, okay, yeah, I mean, we can probably make that work, right?
Wow.
And if anybody knows anything about us, Muhammad, is we are the queens of we will make it happen.
Yes.
I do not care. Like, I don't see the obstacles. Well, I don't see problem. I don't see, yeah, let's do it. And one thing about the showroom at the time is that we were mainly a Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 type operation, right? I don't think I had ever up until that point seen a person on a weekend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ever. Real individual. And they could only come on a Saturday. I think it took... Maybe it took a couple weeks, maybe a month, I don't know. It took some doing. Mm-hmm. And you and I were working together, and I said, listen, mm-hmm. here's what we're going to do. Because it's a Saturday. You know, we didn't want to call a bunch of people in. And Madonna at the time was at the height of her career. We should also say that. She was the biggest star on the planet, I would say, mm-hmm. at that time. And mm-hmm. so we made arrangements for her to come on a Saturday. We had a real skeleton crew because, again, we did have a showroom, but we also had a warehouse that had thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of product from an operation standpoint that we were responsible for. So I think you and I had decided that we only wanted like one or two guys in the warehouse. Maybe we only had one guy in the warehouse, and probably was David, right? Remember David, right. Rest in peace. And then we were gonna keep it small, me and you. And that, I feel like we had one other hanger on type person that.
Yes, Nikita, you talk about, was there somebody else? When I say this person's name, girl, you remember how they had hired a PR lady? Her job.
Oh, she was there?
Yeah, listen, her job was, because all the amazing things we did, no, we didn't have any PR covers. Like, nobody covered our events or our projects or collaborations. So this PR lady, somehow it became under her umbrella to work with entertainment marketing, right? And she, and to get also entertainers to kind of like come to Nike stuff or something like that. So she wanted Madonna to come to an event, and she was on us hard to get her to come to this event or invite her to the event. So we said, listen, we're going to have Madonna in the showroom on Saturday. Why don't you come? We did not tell her to invite Madonna. We didn't tell her to talk to Madonna. Okay. We just told her that she could come and be in the showroom when Madonna was there. Do you recall
this? And that's not even something we would normally do. Like, what would possess me to have some random person come in there? Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just think that she kind of pressured us a lot. She pressured us a lot. And somehow, like, I think in a crazy way, she had been helpful to us somehow in just kind of amplifying some of the work that we had been doing. Something like that. I don't know, because it had to be something to make me say okay to that, because we never did anything like that before.
Yeah, now you're sort of jogging my memory a little bit. Not okay. Jogging, jarring.
But you remember this woman. She was a loose cannon. You remember her?
Girl, now that you said it, absolutely. That's why I'm in my mind now. I'm trying to go back. Like, you knew this was a whole head case. Why would you invite her? And of course, that's why she was agitating. But anyway, so we're trying to manage her, like trying to keep her at bay. Because I think what we also didn't realize is how starstruck she was.
Right.
I think, so like, we kept trying to manage her and like get her out of the way. But here's the thing. So within our warehouse, I mean, it was huge. I mean, it was really big. So we were all excited that Madonna is coming. I don't think at the time we knew who all was coming with her or how she was coming. Sometimes right. people drove themselves. Right. Sometimes they had a driver, whatever, limo or car service, right? And so they pull up outside. And at this point, I don't know if you remember this, she was pregnant. And there hadn't been a lot of pictures of her pregnant at all. In fact, I think they were very, by they, I mean her camp, were very strategic about not really photographing her in that state or really with her family. And as it turned out, when she pulled up, we could see that she had Guy in the car and she had Lourdes in the car with her. I'm like, oh my gosh, she didn't brought the whole family, right?
But no, it was before that. I think it was from the point that they left their house and they probably were like, paparazzi is following us. And then you figured out a solution to that. It was something like that.
Oh, okay. Because I just know, I remember, and I can't remember if it was her or now maybe it was Seal. I'm getting these two stories mixed up. I just remember I saw paparazzi in the bushes at our office. And I was just like, wait a minute, what? So what we did, we were like, okay, so pull in, don't park. Because we had parking like right out front, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're like, don't park out front. We're going to pull you into the warehouse.
Right.
Which we had never had a car in the warehouse before. Like even now looking back, I'm like, I'm sure there was some kind of potential liability issue with that. But we're just problem solving in the moment. So yeah, we were like, okay, here's what we're going to do. When you come in, pull around to the showroom, we'll raise the doors. So they had like garage type doors, right? Yeah. We'll raise the doors and then you guys just pull in. So they did. They pulled in.
If paparazzi were following her, they would have no idea where she was coming to because there was no signage at the showroom. I mean, this was a place for celebrities to come and to like chill. So we didn't want to promote it to the world that this was like this Nike office. So there was like literally no signs. So if paparazzi or whatever were following her, they would have no idea where she was driving to and what place she had arrived at.
No clue whatsoever. And you're right. That was, again, part of our strategy. Because on my watch, I can't say how it is now. On my watch, it's a place that we created for the celebrity themselves. Not your entourages, not your manager to come through. Although we did do that too, mm-hmm. people we were close to. But our whole goal was they needed to come here themselves. Mm-hmm. Nobody was going to do that if it was unsafe. Mm-hmm. If they were getting pimped out to Star Magazine and all these other outlets to come and take pictures of them, or if we were selling information about them, which we never did any of that. And so, yeah, so we definitely had this whole stealth operation going. And I think, Mohammeda, you talk about building trust and loyalty and why celebrities love working with us. That right there, we had her right there.
Yeah.
When they pulled into that showroom, I mean, into the warehouse, and we closed that thing off and it was just us. They were like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like this is on some next level. And that's because we had so much experience with taking celebrities through the kitchen in a place or going in through the back door of a hotel. Or when I had really been trained in that from Leah Wilcox at the NBA, it's hard to move around with a 7 foot tall guy talking about go sneak him in somewhere.
Right.
And so we had kind of learned how to be really stealthy. And so we did with her that day. When she got out of the car, she was so hella cool. Mm-hmm, she was so dope. And I immediately just liked her as a person.
Yeah.
I immediately liked Guy Ritchie as a person. Mm-hmm. And they were just so down to earth. And so, yeah, we brought them into the showroom, loaded them up on product. We let her try on shoes and everything that we pretty much had to offer. And we just kicked it with them and tried to keep the crazy lady away.
No, let me tell you what I think you did. Let me just say, if our appointment with Madonna was at 10 a.m., I think you told the woman it was 11. So that for like the first hour, we were just there and then she came later. I think it was something like that.
Yeah, that's good because I definitely probably did not want Madonna to think she was with us.
Madonna had never worked with us, she didn't really exactly know what to expect, right? So just like you said, they were really chill. I know they were like, what kind of company is this? First of all, it's two black girls. I mean, what company, big company, does that ever happen, right? And then we were so chill. I could just see, like, you know, when celebrities, you could see they're always a bit tense when they meet new people because they just don't know what you're about. But I could see in that hour how they relaxed. they released their shoulders. Like Madonna was probably, like you said, she was like 7 months pregnant. They had their little girl. Our showroom was like a fun house. So I think we had a bicycle in there. I don't know. I remember playing with the little girl, and it was just really like this total family vibe. They were so chill. We were so comfortable. It was just like this real cool vibe because we are not starstruck at all. And again, this is one of the hugest stars in the world. She probably was like, oh, this is cool.
Yes. So, and what I also know for a fact is Adidas didn't have nothing like that. Like, I know that they did not. Now, they might have had some place where people could go, but trust me, the level of detail. I remember we had the basketball court.
Yep.
So I remember Guy was shooting baskets. I mean, we made it into a whole vibe. We might have ordered some food. I mean, I don't know. I was like, she's pregnant, so I know I probably thought about that. I mean, we laid it out.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, when she left, she was just like, Adidas who? I mean, literally, she flipped.
But listen, we almost lost it with this PR woman because the vibe had been going so good for that first hour, 2 hours before the PR lady came. Now, do you remember what happened when the PR lady came?
I don't remember. What happened?
Let me tell you. So we're there. We're vibing. Chill. Now, I know she wasn't there yet, PR lady. So fine. We cool. They shopping. They getting their stuff. They're playing. Baby is running around, whatever. Snacks, whatever. Then the lady, PR lady, shows up. Now, she works for Nike. She shows up. And again, she wanted Madonna to come to this thing. And she was so anxious that we weren't getting to the point. Now, we understand celebrity. You don't push them. You can't. You just can't be seeming too eager, right? So there was going to be a time, I'm sure, before she left that you were going to say something about this event. I don't know what event it was, right? Girl, this PR lady. First of all, we ain't tell you to talk to Madonna, lady. We told you you could come. Ain't nobody tell you to talk to Madonna. She going out of the blue. I feel like she had to pull the invites out her purse and was like, hi, I want you to come to this event. And I just remember we all, Madonna, Guy, me and you, the way we froze, it was like the wall instantly came back up on them, the wall that they used to protect themselves from crazy fans. We were in shock. It was like this moment of like everything that we had built and broke down literally had just been erased. Is that jogging your memory a bit?
Yes, 100%. 100%. And I just think later what I learned about that person is that they, remember it was one male celebrity that she lightweight stalked. And I almost messed up my relationship with that person, right? Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, and it just takes a lot to recover from that. And really what I'm going to do is tell the truth. Like, this is not how I would normally do something, and okay, thank you, and bye, girl. Oof. I mean, punch you in the face, really.
That was bad.
OMG. Yeah, that I'm sure I was mortified for days. But as we do, we're able to recover and save the day, and so we did, and everything definitely ended on a good note, and they left, and she was a Nike girl. And to me, that was like one of the highlights of my career, knowing that together, we were able to take someone who had been so brand loyal.
Right.
Right. And just by virtue of giving her a different type of experience, be able to switch her over. And I don't care what anybody say. There's not enough money in the world to be paid for that. Like, so in my mind, we were beyond being compensated. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is something that you can't even put a dollar amount on. Being able to impact somebody sort of at that level. And so, yeah, that was definitely a fun time. And then didn't you have a really interesting sighting in New York after that?
So you know how you meet someone in one place or one capacity, and then you see them somewhere else and you just can't put the pieces together, right? So at the time, I think when Madonna was there pregnant, Lourdes, her daughter, was maybe, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years old, max, something like that. And I think I was like playing with her in the showroom, having it, like we said, we had a little vibe with all of them. I just remember one day, maybe a year or so later, I'm walking down the street in New York, somewhere near Central Park, and I saw this man walking down the street with a little girl. And I was like, how do I know this little girl? Like, I looked at the man. I didn't know the man. It was her dad. And I just was like thinking, I was like, so strange. How do I know this random, like, little child. And as I walked away, it clicked. I was like, that is Lourdes. It was like, totally. And she, and so you know, Lourdes, her dad,
guy walking down the street.
Yeah, yeah. You know, her dad was a regular guy. And Madonna, I read articles and stuff that she said she just really wanted her daughter to have like a super normal experience as much as she could. And with the dad, I think his background was like Cuban or some kind of Latino. And I think she would be at the grandmother's house. I don't know. But I just remember seeing them walking down the street in New York City. And I was like, that is the little girl that was with us hanging at the showroom. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm telling you, these roads just cross in so many ways.
Yeah.
From and LA again, to New York.
Yeah. Just, I mean, but just speaking about the art, like, you know, I talk about this all the time, just like the art of working with celebrities and entertainment and how I felt that day. I saw it at work, right? I mean, in that moment, we didn't need anything from her. What we wanted was for her to enjoy her experience and to connect to the brand. We didn't need her to put it on in a video. We didn't need her to do an interview. We didn't need to take a picture. There was nothing. There was no cameras. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't need anything. And I think that's such a rare thing for artists, right? Because usually everybody who you come into contact, they want an autograph at the very least. They want mm-hmm. something. And we were there. And of course, we were at a big brand, but we didn't need anything. And that the way that allows them to relax and connect with you in a bigger way than you could even imagine. I mean, I find that just throughout life in general, the less I need from a person, the more I get from them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think too, it is a real opportunity for connection, mm-hmm. even in your personal relationships. Yes, one thing that want a partner and need them to pay the bills or need them to make you feel some kind of way or neat, but it's a whole other experience when two people just decide to share their love, right? Mm-hmm. When two partners come together and just decide to build something really special because it's what they want to do, not at all being need-based. And what happens in that moment is that, like you said, the walls just come down. Mm-hmm. And now you're really able to vibe. And I think for me with Madonna, I didn't know anything about her other than what I had seen on TV, right? I didn't know her. But it really allowed me to get to know the person. And I was like, oh, this chick is cool. Like, I would hang out with her on the strength, yeah. like real talk. Yeah. And I think she felt the same way about us. And then, of course, Crazy Cakes showed up. But again, I think two people have enough common sense to know what is and what isn't. Like, she saw that we were just as mortified as she right. was, right? Yeah. And then, yeah, like I said, Kenny and Maverick, he afterwards, here's, oh, I don't even know if I ever told you this part.
No, what?
He calls me up, must have been, because that was a Saturday, right? So it must have been Monday. He calls me up and he's like, girl, what did y'all do? And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, because I remember the crazy right. lady, right?
Right.
I was like, Kenny, well, what? You know, I'm ready to apologize, right?
Yeah.
He was mm-hmm. like, she was like, where have they been? Why haven't you hooked me up with them sooner? I don't ever need nothing else, Adidas, right?
What?
Muhammada. Kenny was like, Nikita, what did y'all do over there? And I was just like, we were just being us. But yeah, I don't know what their relationship is like today. I mean, she may be wearing them. I don't know. But
right.
I know that for us, even just getting her in a Nike anything was huge. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad that we were able to have that kind of experience together. And really, you totally have my back on that one because we were scrambling from the minute they were like, oh, the paparazzi is following us, to the minute we lifted the doors and let them leave. You know, we were kind of in it together. So
Right. I mean, and as we said, navigating Hollywood, that was just one of those real Hollywood moments. Paparazzi, secret doors. I mean, that was just a real, real Hollywood moment, right? And I think it just took some people, somebody like us who had years and years of experience. By this time, we had a significant amount of time spent in the entertainment industry at a very high level, working with some of the biggest artists and athletes in the world. So that's the only reason why we could navigate a situation like that with so much ease. That's mm-hmm. what it was. And like I said, just I feel like that interaction, just I really understood the art and just like how experienced we really were. And I was like, yo, we really understand this game. So yeah, it was a good time. And like I said, it just really reflects our skill, our experience, our expertise. I'll just say that it's like at our level of expertise. So yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, that was definitely a fun Soul Chronicle that I'm glad we were able, you know, to bring to our audience today.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys again. Hope you enjoyed today's episode all about our time with Madonna. So definitely feel free to follow us on social media at the Soul Chronicles on all platforms. Actually, on Twitter, it's Soul Chronicles, and on Instagram, it's The Soul Chronicles. And if you want to contribute to the Soul Chronicles production fund, feel free. Do not hesitate. Anything, $1, $5, whatever, to help with the production cost, because this is an independent project, and we will appreciate it. So we look forward to seeing you on another episode of the Soul Chronicles. As you know, we always have really amazing adventures, journeys, stories, tidbits to share with you. So stay tuned and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Soul Chronicles, the podcast navigating life and times in the sneaker industry, Hollywood, and corporate America. Be sure to join us for another exciting episode.